You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
I say this a lot, is that my preaching is only effective when we prepare our hearts. I once said that you can have two individuals hear the same message. Thank you. And one will, give me tissue, that's nice, just in case I get emotional, very good. You can have two individuals listen to the same message, but one will leave going, wow, I heard God. And the other says, I didn't get anything out of that. And I think it boils down to the fact that the heart has been prepared. And what worship does is that when we sing to God, when we pray to God, something happens in the spiritual realm where God prepares our hearts to receive the Word of God. And I really believe that what I say to you is from God, and that God is going to speak to us. And this morning is a word that will help us prepare for what a 2020 will look like for you and for our church. Let me ask you this question. Let me start off by asking this question here. Would you agree that we are creatures of habit? We do a lot of the things the same without realizing it. Think about that question. You go to your favorite cafe and you find yourself ordering the same thing. For me, it's flat white, banana bread, toasted, bit of butter, thanks. It's just automatic. Maybe you go to work, right? You're driving to work. It's the same route. You listen to the same radio station. In fact, next minute you realize you're at work without realizing it. It's autopilot. It just happens automatically. There's one particular member on staff at church. When we go for staff lunches, this person will order the same dish every time without fail for the entire year. It's just the usual, thanks. I remember growing up in the 80s where my father would give me a $2 coin or $2 note. And that was my lunch. Back then, $2 would get you a lot. And I would buy, literally every day for an entire year, one of those orange juices, orange C, in a paper carton, a little small one, frozen. Had to be frozen. Sausage roll and sauce for $2. And I would buy that and have that every day for an entire year. It just was automatic. How about this morning, coming to church? The alarm went off. Press the snooze button, try to get another 9 minutes. All right, you get up, you roll out of bed, get some breakfast, probably the same breakfast, brush your teeth, hop in your car, drive the same way to church. It's just automatic. Is that right? We are creatures of habit, and we do the same thing over and over again. There's a movie called Groundhog Day. I don't know if you've watched a movie before. It's a guy who's kind of stuck in a cycle, and he's living the same day over and over again. And for some of us, maybe we're living the same year over and over again. Nothing really changes except the fact that we're getting older, heavier, grumpier, right? Besides from that, it's pretty much the same. Is that right? And if I said to you, unless we do something different in the new year, 2020, there's a very good chance that we would live out 2020 the same way we lived out 2019. Would you agree? I mean, I've spoken to people where they have said to me they're stuck in a cycle where it's just the same thing over and over and over again. In fact, in some cases, these people hear that cycle so vicious that it leads to a place of darkness and even sometimes depression. I've heard of individuals in this church, out of this church, where every day it's exactly the same. They wake up, they'll watch something on Netflix. They'll spend hours on the computer playing computer games. They'll go to the fridge, get some food. They won't leave the house. They'll go back and watch some videos on YouTube, get some lunch. They won't leave the house, and they'll go back to bed. And the next day, exactly the same. Wake up, Netflix, YouTube, some food, won't leave their house. And it's the same cycle over and over again. Maybe you are in a cycle. Maybe 2019 this year was actually a repeat of 2018, which happens to be a repeat of 2017. Maybe if you looked at your life, you realize, well, nothing's really changed. Got a bit older, but nothing has really changed. And I got a message for you to encourage you to make sure that 2020 will be much different compared to 2019. All right? So we're going to pray and open up the Word of God, and I want to show you some principle. Let me pray. Father God, I ask now that you would help me. Give me clarity of speech. May I present your Word faithfully, and may your people hear you through me, and may we live 2020 different than this year. May next year be a great year for us all. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel. It's in the Old Testament towards the end. When we think of the book of Daniel, if you have been a Christian for some time, right? When you think of Daniel, you think of the guy thrown in the lion's den. Is that right? In fact, go to Google, right? Type in Daniel. Don't do it now. But you go type in Daniel and Bible, press search. You get an image which looks a bit like this. Yeah? You get something like that. He's very cute. He's got some lines around him. They're quite nice. In fact, the chapter that I want to look with you this morning is in chapter 6, which happens to be the chapter where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. But that's not where I want to lend the message. I'm not going to talk about him being inside this den full of lions. I'm not going to talk a message about how do you fight those, you know, dreadful, fierce lions. No, no, I'm talking about how he actually found himself in the lion's den and how we can learn from that. So you have your Bible, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, and I'll start from verse 1. Are you ready? Here we go, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. Let me stop right there. Darius was this king, not from Babylon. He actually took over Babylon, right? And he's now the new ruler. Daniel is not from Babylon. He's actually one of God's people from Jerusalem. And if you know the story of Daniel, God's people were rebellious, right? And God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to capture his entire people and take them into exile. Right? So picture this. God's people are rebellious. A king from Babylon would come along, capture God's people, and now they've lost their land, they've lost their temple, they've lost their identity, and now they've taken away east to Babylon, and now they're under the oppressive captivity of the Babylonian rule. Yeah? There's a young man named Daniel. He's there. He's very special. By this time now, he's a grown man, and King Darius would now set a system to rule his kingdom. He appoints 120 satraps or governors to look after the kingdom. All right? Verse 2. With three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So let's picture that. 120 governors, three administrators. So that's a ratio of 1 to 40, right? To rule the entire kingdom. Daniel was one of the three. All right? The satraps were made accountable to them so the king may not suffer loss. Verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. You see what happened there? Daniel, one of the three administrators, something so special about him, the Bible would say exceptional qualities. He was above the rest that the king said, you know what, Daniel, I'm going to put you at the very top. In other words, you're no longer the three administrators. You're going to be above them. There'll be three administrators and 120 governors. Now, we need to find out why Daniel was so great, successful. What was his qualities? Let's keep reading on. Verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. Now there's a bit of jealousy. Is that right? A bit of jealousy now. The other leaders, the other governors, administrators go, why is this the case? How come this Daniel is so successful? How come he got promoted, not us? They're trying to find ways to tear him down. Right? But they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in Daniel because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. You notice that? What I realized something is that when you live a life where it is so exceptional, so successful, so great, there's a tendency that jealousy will come your way. Yeah? And I feel that jealousy can be of two types. It can be positive and it can be negative. Like when it's positive, it leads to determination for the people around you to improve, right? You think about it. If the people are jealous and they want to improve, they'll lift their game, they'll make changes, they'll excel, they'll push the limit. That's positive. That's pretty good. The AFL, the Aussie rules sport that we watch as Australian, there was a few years ago where one of the teams thought it would be a brilliant idea to train all the players in high altitude. All right. So during the pre-season, one of the clubs, I think it was Essendon, they took all the players to some mountains in the Himalayas, I'm not quite sure, to train the players in high altitude. I don't know the science behind it. It's got something to do with the thinning of oxygen and increasing the blood cells. I don't know. Ask one of the doctors here, right? But apparently, all the other clubs said, hey, wait a minute. They're doing something different. Well, guess what happened the following year? All the other clubs took their players during the pre-season to train in high altitude. There was a jealousy, but it was positive. It resulted in determination, and these other clubs were pushing the limits to compete. But most of the case, jealousy can be negative, yeah? And it's quite destructive. And that is what we see right here. These other leaders were so jealous that they wanted to tear Daniel down. And that's the reason why Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human beings during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. See what they did? They said to the king, hey king, got a brilliant idea. Over the next 30 days, if anyone is caught praying, worshipping to another god, another human being, other than you, King Darius, they should be put to the lion's den for death. What a brilliant idea. Well, there's a problem because we know Daniel, he worshipped Yahweh, the God of Israel. That was his God. And that was something very unique about Daniel compared to the rest of the people there. Let's read a bit further to find out what happens next in verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. Remember, he's in Babylon, east. He would go upstairs, open the window, facing towards Jerusalem, his hometown, and he prayed towards his God. The Bible says three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. What do you notice right here in the text? Bad news came his way, and the very first thing he did was that he went upstairs and he prayed to his God. Three times. The Bible would say that he gave thanks to God. He prayed to God despite the law that if anyone were caught praying to a god or a human being other than Darius would be put to death. He would go up and pray to his God three times. And notice carefully what the Bible would say, just as he has done before. The Bible implies that this was something that Daniel did every day. He was very consistent. It was regular. He prayed when things were good. He prayed when things were not good. He prayed, he gave thanks to God three times a day. And we learn here from the text that Daniel's prayer life was very consistent. Every day, three times, no matter what the situation was, whether it was danger, death, he would pray to God three times a day. And I believe that it was this consistency that resulted in the favor that Daniel had from the king. and that he stood above the rest because he was forever trusting God. He was forever praying to God. I mean, don't you agree with me that prayer is very simple? It's not a big thing. In fact, prayer is a very private, secret matter. Is that right? Like, unless I've asked you to come on stage and pray out loud to the church, that's public. Is that right? Unless you pray in your small group, that's public. But when you pray, most of the time, prayer is very what? Private. It's secret. No one knows that you're praying. It's very small. It's very insignificant, right? But here's the principle. Here's the principle. It's the small thing that Daniel did consistently over a long period of time that God made the small into big. And that's what we see right here. And that's the principle that we must learn this morning. We must never underestimate the big things that God can do when we are consistent with the small things. And I'm not saying to you that if you pray to God 3 times a day for the entire year, things are going to change. That's not the message here. The message here is that what I've noticed is that when you are consistent with the small things over a long period of time, God will do big things. Because prayer in the Bible here, Jesus once said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Go there with me. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. Can you see that? It's very small. It's very private. It's unseen. It's done in secret. But when we are willing to make small changes and keep it consistent over a long period of time, that's when big things happen. 2020 will be different to 2019 if you and I are willing to make small changes and keep that consistent for the entire year. A good question we should ask ourselves, and maybe if you're married, ask your spouse, will be this question here. What is the one thing I need to do differently in order for me to be a better person in 2020? One thing. Are we willing to make that small change in order to see a big difference? For those who are close to me, who work with me, on leadership, you know that I'm forever changing things. If the system doesn't work, if things don't work, I'm going to change it the following year. Because I just don't want to waste another year doing the same thing over and over again. I have known of churches where they are living out the same year in, year out, for decades. It's the same. And it breaks my heart that people would want to get comfortable and just stick to the same formula and have no results. If it's not working, it needs to change. A connect group, for example, your connect group this year changed. Is that right? A few years ago, we met every fortnight. So in a month, we would meet twice. You miss one connect group gathering, you're meeting only once a month. You missed 2 in that month, you haven't met up at all. So this year, we decided to meet weekly. It was a big change, but we had to make that change. We also felt that the best time for people to come into a connect group or leave a connect group would be during school terms. All right? Because we felt as a church that some people did not want to join a connect group because they felt that they're not quite sure how to get into a connect group. So we came up with this idea. There are exit ramps and entry ramps. If you want to join a connect group, the best way to do it is wait for the new term and go in. If you want to leave a connect group because work has changed, the shift has changed, and you cannot attend whatever time, whatever day, then wait to the end of the term and leave the connect group. We also made the change that connect group will only last for 1 year. So in other words, if you are part of a connect group this year, next year, we want you to be part of another connect group. Because we saw that there were groups that were very close and quite clicky, and they've been doing life for like 4 or 5 years, and I was hearing voices from people saying, "Pastor, I can't really join that group." And I said, "Why?" "It's because when I go into that group, they've got their own little jokes, and they've done life together, and I feel so left out, and I just don't want to join the group." So what we thought was, hey, why don't we try something else? Just mix it up. Every year, press Control, Alt, Delete, Reset. And everyone just find a new connect group. And we just start over again. Why? because we felt that we had to change. I was at a conference where John Maxwell said this, and I'm not quoting him, but I just remember what he said. He said that if you're still excited with what took place 5 years ago, then you're left behind. He's saying that as a church, you should not be excited what took place 5 years ago. Some churches are still excited with what took place 30 years ago. Maxwell says, you're left behind. You've got to be forever changing. And for me as your leader here, just because something is working, it doesn't mean I'm going to keep it the same. Because there's a very good chance I might tweak it to anticipate for what God is doing next. For some of you, thank you for trusting me and running with me. And for some, I'm a very hard person to work with, but that's just how I'm wired. And I believe that if we are willing to see 2020 different to 2019, we have to learn to make small changes and keep it consistently throughout the year. Let's just say you are someone that you have a great relationship with Jesus. Praise God. Like every time you pray, there's this wonderful encounter with God. It's just amazing. Your eye starts rolling back. I don't know. It's just phenomenal. You open the Bible and Jesus is talking to you. That is great. You keep that up. But, you struggle to serve. For some reason, there's no energy. You're always tired. You see your name on a team. You see your name on the roster and you're really tired. Right? There's something wrong with you. Maybe you're just unfit. I don't know. But if that is you, because that's some of us, what's the one thing that you can do differently next year? Keep it consistent to see a change. Vice versa. Maybe you're someone that you love to serve. You're on multiple teams and you're just full of fun and life and everyone loves hanging around with you because you're the life of the party and there's always energy and you're great. But you cannot remember the last time you heard the voice of God. You can't. You open the Bible and you read one verse and you check your Instagram for half an hour and you read back another verse and you're on Facebook for half an hour and the Bible is really nothing to you. And there's no intimacy with Jesus. So I ask you, what is the one thing you can do differently to see intimacy with Jesus in 2020? We do not want to see a repeat of 2019. We want to see 2020 be a better year than 2019. We all want to improve. We all want to grow. We all want to be strengthened for the glory of God and the good of those around us. And the big question is, what are you willing to do in order to see next year be different to this year here? Make it one change and keep it consistent throughout the entire year. Let's say you want to be nicer on the road because you're one of those people that you get very angry and very upset when you're driving. When there's a traffic jam, you're just furious. When that person cuts in front of you, you're angry. And you want to be nicer next year. Maybe it is to maybe leave work 15 minutes earlier every day. Leave for your appointment 15 minutes earlier. And give you that buffer so that if that old lady happens to cut in front of you, it's okay. You can still wave at her. Give her the peace sign. Oh, grace. And if you're in a traffic jam, it's okay. Because you've given yourself 15 minutes. One small change. Keep that consistent throughout the year. Maybe you want to be healthier next year. Maybe. You've realized, you know what, this year, I want to be more healthier. Next year I want to be more healthier. Maybe eat less junk food. I don't know. Snack less. But just keep that consistent every day. Just, you see the junk food, just don't go for it. Just keep it consistent. You want to be more organized. You're one of those that are very disorganized. Like you promise things and you never follow through. Maybe next year, learn to keep a diary. Or have a to-do list, right? To-do list. And write down all the things you want to do that day and check it every day and execute it. Maybe you want to be more loving and be more pastoral and more caring. Set a reminder on your phone. Right? That at a certain time, there's a reminder that pops and says, hey, send someone an email. Call someone up. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that you love them and do it every day. Maybe you want to get closer to Jesus and you want to read the Bible. We've got a devotion in our church app. It's only 5 minutes. Maybe it's just reading that devotion every day. Keep it consistent. Make sure you do it for the entire year and see what happens next. I don't want you to leave this morning going, "That's great, Pastor. I've got five things I want to do. I'm going to do this, that." No. Don't do that. Because five things will become probably three things at the end of the week. And three things will probably become one thing at the end of the month. And before you know it, it becomes nothing. Don't go away going, "Yep, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that." No. Find one area that you want to see improve next year. Ask God, "What is it, God, you want me to improve in?" And make one small change and keep that consistent throughout the entire 2020 and see if God will change your situation. That's what you want to do. What about motivation? You know, some people say, "Well, the problem here is that I just can't find the motivation." Can I give you some advice to help you find the motivation to keep on doing that small thing consistently over a long period of time? Find an accountability buddy. Find someone in the church who also wants to change in that area as well. Ask that person, "Hey, can you do this with me?" I was talking to someone just a couple of weeks ago about the gym, and that person said to me, "If I was to exercise at home, there's a very good chance that I won't last 10 minutes. A very good chance. I'll exercise for 5-10 minutes and I'll give up. But when I exercise with other people, I can go for 45 minutes to an hour." Isn't it true? Then when you do something with other people, it helps you to be motivated and it helps you to keep at it and to see consistency take place. There may be an area that you want to grow in next year that God wants you to grow in, and there's someone else in the church that also wants to grow in that area. Find that person and say, "Hey, can we keep each other accountable for the entire year? That we do this together. If it is to read the Bible, hey, let's make sure we're reading the same devotion every day for the entire year." Keep each other accountable. Do this together. And I guarantee you, when you do that, you will see that these small changes over a long period of time will change you. But I really believe that you make that small change and you keep it consistent, it will benefit you in the long term. The second thing you got to do, I believe, is that you got to make it very obvious what you want to change, what you want to do. Make it very obvious. Have you ever been to Coles or Woolies and you're looking for the half price discounts? Where do they place those items? At the very end of the aisle, at the very front as you walk into the shop. Is that right? You don't have to go looking for the discount items because they're very, very smart. They make it very, very obvious. They put it right at the front, at the end of the aisle. You're looking for the half price, whatever it is, it's all there. They make it very, very obvious. All right? If you want to change what you do, learn to change what you see. Very, very important, right? If you want to read your Bible every day, right, before you check your phone, maybe put your Bible next to your bed. Maybe put the phone on the other side of the room. So the very first thing that you see when you wake up will be what? Your Bible and not your phone. Make it very, very obvious. And by doing that, I am pretty sure that you can keep it consistent over a year and see where God takes that. Make it super obvious, all right? Maybe the last time you had a speeding ticket for driving too fast, all right? Keep that ticket, laminate the ticket, just laminate it. Get rid of the fluffy dice on your rear vision mirror, get rid of that. Hang that infringement ticket on your mirror. As you're driving, all right, as you drive fast, what happens is that the momentum will cause that ticket to move. Don't laugh because it's worked. And your eye's going to pick it up and you're going to remind yourself that, "Hey, I better slow down. Because if I don't slow down, there's a very good chance that I'm going to have another ticket." Make it very, very obvious whatever you want to do. If you want to, if you're always running late, right? For me, there was a time where I was, well, this year I was running a connect group for some of the fellas on Thursday morning at 7 a.m. in the morning for 1.5 hours. And during winter, it got very difficult because winter, you know, it's very dark at 6 o'clock. You can't see your way around. So what I made sure I did was that before I went to bed, I took out all the my clothes, my socks, my shoes, and I laid it out on the sofa. Because I did not want to go around looking for my clothes early in the morning, right, when it's dark, waking up Sleeping Beauty here. I did not want to do that. Right, I laid it all out nicely. I got my Bible, my wallet, my keys, my bag. I laid it all out. So in the morning when I got up at 6 o'clock, when it's dark, I had to go to Connect Group by 7 o'clock. It was all there. It was very obvious. And that did not make me run late for my meetings. And it's the same with you and I. If you want to see changes take place, what is a small thing you want to do consistently over the entire year? Make it obvious. Change what you see. The third thing we can do is we've got to keep it very simple. Keep it very, very simple. Don't make it big. Don't make it grand. Just keep it simple, but keep it consistent. That's the key, right? Let's just say one of the things I talk to couples a lot about praying together. Let's say I ask a couple, hey, do you guys pray together? And most of the time people say, we do, but we're not quite sure how to pray, or it's quite awkward when I pray with my wife, or you know, what advice can you give me, Pastor? And I say to people, it's just keep it simple. Just keep it simple, you know? Just ask your wife or your husband, honey, what can I pray for you? And he or she will give a few things. Pray with that person, that's it. If you're dating, same thing. Ask your boyfriend, girlfriend, hey, what can I pray for you? You know, I've got an exam around the corner. Can you pray for God's, you know, reassurance and confidence? Yep, pray. And then take turn. You know, the other person shares what you can pray for them. Keep it simple. You know, like husband and wife, pray together. Pray for one another. Hold each other's hands and pray. Don't go for half an hour. You know, it's too long. Maybe a few minutes. Start little. Hold each other's hand. Pray. And once you finish praying, look at each other's eyes and say amen together. Right? And let the Spirit lead you to what happens next that evening. I don't know. Right? Just try that. Right? And if you keep that consistent for the entire year, see whether there's more kids. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. See what blessing God gives you. Right? But the point is this. Keep it what? Simple. You want to exercise. You want to exercise. You want to get fit. Don't join the gym after this morning service. Don't do that. Because you'll waste $80. Trust me. You'll waste money. You're going to join the gym. You're going to waste. Keep it simple. You want to get fit. Maybe just jog around your house every day for 20 minutes. Is that right? And if that's too tough, because if you can't jog 20 minutes, walk for 10 minutes. But just do it every day. Keep it consistent. If you still can't walk, that's okay. Get out of bed. Get back into bed. Get out of bed. Get back into bed. And do that 20 times. Right? Just do something. Right? But you got to keep it what? Simple. Keep it simple. Keep it small. But keep it consistent. Now, I don't embarrass someone. I won't mention name. But I just saw someone at church this morning, and I haven't seen him for a while. He knows that I'm talking about him. And I said, man, you look different. You look so healthy. Have you been going to the gym? He goes, yeah. And he made me feel bad. Because I said to him, hey, Pastor, you look fit too as well. And I said, you're lying. I could tell you're lying. And I said to him, you going to the gym? He goes, yeah, 4 times. Oh my goodness, it made me feel bad. Because the last time I went to the gym was probably 4 years ago, right? But I'm pretty sure that guy was consistent. He did that for 4 times a week for the entire year. And look at the result. You want to make sure that 2020 be different? Ask God, what is the one thing that you want to see different next year? What's the one thing? And work on that. You know, maybe it is to get fit. Maybe it is to join a connect group. Maybe it is to have fewer soft drinks. Or maybe it is to read the Bible more. Maybe it is to be just nicer to people. Maybe it is just to spend more time with your children. Remember, whatever it is, whatever God has laid in your heart to try to improve next year, start small and keep it consistent over an entire year and see what God can do out of it. Because I believe that the small change will lead to a big difference. You know, if it is to exercise, exercise daily. If it is to read your Bible daily. If it is to pray to God daily. If it is to eat healthy daily. If it is to be patient daily. If it's to drive slower daily. And just remember this, that every time you accomplish that one small change that day, it's a victory. Just keep that in mind. See, the evil one will say, no, it's not that important. The evil one will say, that's insignificant. That's small. That is nothing. No, no, no. Every time you accomplish that one task, no matter how small it is, every day it is a victory. Because you do this consistently over a long period of time, I believe that you will grow physically stronger, spiritually stronger, mentally stronger, emotionally stronger, and you will be a better version of yourself. I believe that if you're willing to make small changes and keep that consistent over a long period of time, and every time you do that, every day there's a change, and you were victorious, that's a victory. And over the course of the year, let's see what the small can do. And believe that God can make the small to the big. That's how we will live 2020 different to 2019. We do not want to repeat this year, next year. We don't want to finish the end of next year and say, you know what, it's just the same. It's just the same year. We don't want to do that. We want to finish next year saying, wow, it was a greater year. And then maybe 2021, we do something different and we keep adding onto that and see where God takes us. Let's not repeat next year. Let's make sure that next year is the best year ever, and it starts with doing something small consistently over a long period of time. We find Daniel praying to his God three times a day. The Bible says, just as he has been doing consistently. And because of that, God honored him. He was above the rest. He saw favor in the eyes of Darius, and he was a man with exceptional qualities. I believe that whatever you do next year, you keep it consistent, God will grow you, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, God will grow you. But what you have to do is find time from now to the end of the year, which is only another few more days, and ask God, what is the one thing that you want me to grow in? Maybe God is speaking to some of us already this morning through the Word. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's just spending time with your kids. Maybe it's working less. Maybe it's being more healthier. Whatever it is, all right? Just find one small tweak that you can try every day for the entire year, and see that the small change will lead to big difference. Amen.